Our study tonight begins the third dirge, which is the main dirge. This is the one that has 66 verses in it because there are three verses with each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And we're on Lamentations chapter 3, 1 to 18, understanding the afflictions of God's discipline. In times of spiritual failure, followed by God's discipline, the believer is ripe to learn from his failure. What constitutes the burden of the prophet Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations. Lamentations 3, 1 to 18, the first part of Jeremiah's third dirge on Jerusalem's fall, voices the response of Jeremiah as representing Jerusalem's plight with a lesson on understanding the afflictions of God's discipline. I want to read that passage and then we'll look at it. Lamentations 3, 1 through 18. I am the man that hath seen the affliction by the rod of his, that's God's wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin has he made old, he has broken my bones. He has builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins, actually into my kidneys. I was a derision to all my people in their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. Actually, I forgot happiness. And I said, my strength and my hope has perished from the Lord. Okay. This section of the third dirge presents Jeremiah as Judah's representative, suffering at the hand of God's wrath. So it offers insight on identifying the sufferings of God's discipline. In other words, these were not really per se the sufferings of Jeremiah himself. He's personifying the sufferings of the city of Jerusalem and of Judea, and he's identifying with them. Accordingly, we note the following experiences of suffering typical of divine discipline as personified in the case of Jeremiah, who represents the people of Judah. Liken himself to the city that has come under the rod of God's discipline, Jeremiah claimed that God had driven and brought him into darkness without any light all day long, an expression of feeling confused as he watched God seemingly reverse his past actions and attitudes and actions. Incidentally, that is a signal of the Lord's discipline. If a person finds himself utterly confused with what's going on and he doesn't understand what God's up to, and it's very unsettling, God will do that for a while in order to get the attention of an individual. It's just a very... You know, it's much easier in life when you really understand what God is doing. And you can take suffering if you understand it. But when he's disciplining, many times he will leave us intentionally in the state of confusion. And that's designed to get our attention. Jeremiah claimed that he suffered brokenness in both physical and spiritual realms. God had figuratively made his flesh and his skin waste away, breaking his bones in poor health. The bones were often a figure for the person's entire body. So it says, God, he's broken my bones. You don't mean it literally. It's a figurative reference to my whole health is broken. So breaking his bones in poor health, leaving him experiencing bitterness, tribulation, and darkness like the dead of long ago. So that's another characteristic that can be a characteristic of God's discipline. There's a sense of brokenness. Everything goes wrong physically, emotionally, mentally, is just wham. Then the prophet felt trapped being walled about so that he could not escape, that his chains of restriction were heavy. Though he cried for help, God had shut out his prayer, blocking his pathway with obstacles and making his pathways in life difficult and crooked. A sense of feeling trapped is another signal of the Lord's discipline. It can be. Okay. Jeremiah then claimed that God's actions seemed to make him like a special target of his wrath. God to him was like a bear lying in wait, or like a lion hiding to attack him. The Lord had then turned aside his steps and torn him to pieces, leaving him desolate. God had bent his bow and set Jeremiah as a target, repeatedly to pummel him with arrows. In other words, it's just like God is making me the object of target practice. He's just up there and just shooting arrows at me. The arrows of the Lord had been driving into his kidneys. And that's typically a figurative reference to one's emotional structure, implying that God had tried to inflict especially emotional pain on him. David refers to, in Psalm 139, how God formed his kidneys when as yet, you know, in total darkness. Well, he was forming a lot more than that, but the kidneys were often a reference to emotions. The reason for that is that when a person feels strong emotion, often he notices that the kidneys are working. Okay? So the Jewish people tied those together. So the emotional structure, and then a person feels that he's a target of his wrath. It's like everything is going wrong. Absolutely everything that can go wrong is then going wrong, and then plus something else. That's often a signal of the Lord's discipline. God's prophet told of the humiliation he faced in becoming the laughingstock of all Gentile peoples around him, the object of all their taunts consistently given all day long. That's another thing. Humiliation, constant humiliation that you can face everywhere you turn, that can be a signal of the Lord's discipline. Jeremiah was overrun with negative emotions, filled with bitterness and satiated with wormwood. Wormwood is very bitter. The prophet expressed a feeling of abhorrence, likened to his teeth being made to grind on gravel. I know the King's English in verse 16 says he's also broken my teeth with gravel stones, but it means, actually means he's made my teeth to grind on gravel. You know how uncomfortable it is when you bite down on something and there's a little bit of sand in there and, ooh, it makes you shiver all over. Well, it's like God had made him have to grind, his teeth grind on gravel. Very, very uncomfortable, the porous. Jeremiah then claimed that God had made him cower in ashes to suffer intimidation at the abundance of his woes that left him wrung out of optimism. That's another thing where God can allow an individual get into the situation where he feels intimidated because of something or certain types of personalities. That can be a signal of God's discipline. The prophet lacked peace. That's a classic. His life being overrun with calamity. Lack of peace, or a person can hardly sleep at night. That's another signal of God's discipline. Jeremiah had forgotten what happiness was due to the intensity of his sufferings. When a person gets into a position, he wonders if he's ever going to be happy again. That sense of loss of happiness, or that I'll never be happy again, that can be another burden that is the result of God's discipline. The prophet added that he had no more endurance. He'd run out. He had no more patience left. He had no more energy, no more strength, no more emotional reserves. In the end, he had run out of hope from the Lord, having given up due to his sufferings. Now, we know that that's not really Jeremiah's case, because in the next section he talks about the hope of the Lord. But he's likening himself to the people in Jerusalem. They had run out of hope. And they had sensed that there was no hope for the Lord. That's one of the signals of divine discipline, too, a sense of hopelessness. So the lesson is, in a startling description of the effects of God's discipline on Judah, Jeremiah clarified that they experienced confusion, brokenness in body and spirit, the feeling of entrapment, feeling as if they were a special target of God for destruction, humiliation, negative emotions, intimidation, and the lack or loss of peace, happiness, endurance, and hope from the Lord. So, if we face trials in life where we experience confusion, and brokenness in body and or spirit. Feelings of entrapment, feeling as if we're a special target of God for destruction. Humiliation, negative emotions, intimidation, lack or loss of peace, happiness, endurance, and hope in the Lord. We need to examine our lives in view of Scripture to see if we have sinned before the Lord so as to repent for restoration. You notice I said if. The reason is not all such suffering is necessarily discipline from the Lord. Proof is Job. Not all intense suffering automatically implies sin, as in the case of Job, who was blameless and upright, who revered God and turned away from evil. And we know in Job 1:1-13, he ended up, he lost his children, he lost his goods, and so forth, and he lost his health. He had some sort of his body was covered with boils, and he sat, and it was very uncomfortable, and he sat in an ash heap when he was putting ashes on his boils to take away the pain and so forth. It was extremely uncomfortable. And his wife came up to him and said, curse God and die. Not really an encouragement. But he was a righteous man. In fact, the Bible tells us that God actually boasted to Satan that there was no man as righteous as Job. So really righteous people can suffer intensely too. So we have to be careful about judging ourselves. If we're facing this, it does not necessarily mean that we're sinning. But what we need to do is, that's the first thing we should check and ask, okay, what's God, is he ringing my bell for something? What have I done wrong? And you check Scripture. If you don't find anything in Scripture, there's got to be another reason and God's got to point it out. But if we face such trials, we do need to check God's Word to see if sin is the problem. And if so, to address it. I know in my own life, there have been a number of times where there may be a smattering of these situations that will show up in my life. And it's just like out of nowhere, you're facing it here and there and everything. And when I've stopped to think, I realize, yep, there's something there. I know what the Lord's dealing with, so I'll deal with it right away. And often, within minutes, all of the situations are rectified. Just, it all calms down. So I'm thankful that the Lord does that, because he gives assurance that he's keeping his eye on us. And he will correct us. But not always is that the case. Sometimes you'll face a number of sufferings and you'll go to the Lord and you can't think of anything that's going on that he's trying to correct. And so you just have to leave it with him and you write it out. And often there are other reasons for it. Sometimes God is protecting us from a given situation where the sufferings are designed to make us draw back from a situation that we were going to head into. And so we draw back from it. And we draw back from it. We actually are saved from calamity because a real bad situation comes up. I've heard of situations like this where believers will run into a problem, and they're not into a problem. They're driving the car, they're going to go to work, and for some reason they don't understand. They decide to go a different way to work rather than their old way. Get to work and they'll find out that there's a terrible 3 or 4 car accident on the road where they would have gone. They might have actually run into the accident and gotten hurt, and the Lord worked that way. Sometimes a person will get a flat tire. Then, boy, this is inconvenient. You stop and fix a flat, and you go on down the road after a while, and then you find out there was an accident, and you might have gotten into that accident. So sometimes God is protecting us. I think there was a study once that was done that found out there are 7 or 8 reasons why people suffer. Only one of them is sin. Okay. But if we face a bunch of these things, this sense of confusion, brokenness, entrapment, feel like you're just a target of God, emotional structure is hurt, you're humiliated, you have negative emotions, abhorrence, intimidation, lack of peace, lack happiness, you run out of endurance, you run out of hope. And those things come all at once. That's a signal we better stop and pay attention and look at the Word of God, because the Lord is probably, he may well be trying to get our attention, and then we need to repent and confess it to the Lord so that we can get back in fellowship with him.